Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I want to look at three verses from that chapter. And praying in the Spirit imparts the ability to live in the supernatural. Praying in the Spirit gives an impartation that one can abide in the supernatural on a daily basis. Why? Because there's an energy and a fuel released in the Spirit. Another reason is because it's now spirit on spirit. We'll find that out in a few moments. Spirit on spirit. And so the supernatural is always available. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, verse 14 and verse 18, both bespeak how you grow and how you develop yourself by praying in the Spirit. Verse 2 says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto who?" Now notice what it says, because it's very important. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the Spirit, he speaketh mystery. You see that? All right, go to the 14th verse. It says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth." You see that? Yes, underline that. My spirit prayeth. Underline that in your Bible. My spirit prayeth. Now again, he says, "But my understanding is unfruitful." Now you notice what he said in the second verse. "No man understandeth him." So it seemed like, listen, it seemed like you're getting out of man's territory. Not only that, are you listening? When you're praying in your spirit, you're moving out of Satan territory. So you come to a place where everything be unlocked, unblocked, and unstopped. Write that down. See, you're getting in the rim because you're going over the power of the enemy. You're going over the power of man. You're in a dimension of the Spirit, talking to the Father of Spirit, producing spiritual ability. What about it if we could abide in the supernatural? About every time you need a miracle, it's right there. Every time you need a sign, it's right there. Every time you need a wonder, it's right there. Unlock, unblock, and unstop. That is the way that God, you remember what he said in John 15:7? If you abide in me and my words abide in you. See, now we're talking about abiding in the supernatural by praying in the Spirit. Over the years, I've seen that praying in the Spirit makes possibility available in every situation. You didn't get it. It makes possibility available in every situation. Because when one is operating in the Spirit, it invalidates impossibility. If you just know who you are. And I think praying in the Spirit opens your eyes wider spiritually so you can know who you are. Now, in the 18th verse, I thank my God I speak with tongue more than you all. Just to help you out, in Hebrews 12, I want you to look at this verse because it's going to give us some enlightenment on what we're talking about, praying in the Spirit, praying prayers that keep the supernatural alive. I said it another way, you see. Prayer that keep the supernatural alive. Say it, prayer. Prayer. Praying that keep the supernatural alive. Because you're dealing with spirit, you see. God is a spirit. The same way it's said in the Bible, they that worship him must, I say John 4:24, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Well, when you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying in spirit and truth. Why? Because, watch out now, this is going to be a new statement. You better get it. The miscreation of your mind can't mess you up. Your mind unrenewed is a miscreator. It missed God. It missed the next move you need to take. It missed the next, well, come on now. It missed the next step you should take. It miss you. It make you miss the next person you're supposed to talk to. God is always sending your answer. God is always sending you your solution. But you can miss it by unrenewed mind. Not having the mind of the Spirit. When you pray in tongue, you activate in the mind of the Spirit. Suppose I tell you you can think like the Holy Ghost. You pray in the Spirit enough, you're going to begin to think like the Holy Ghost. You're going to begin to know exactly what God wants you to do, exactly what God wants you to say, exactly when to keep your mouth closed, exactly when to cut some people loose, exactly when to quit a job. Because you're not a normal. Christians don't supposed to be in a normal rat race. But we had to be in the Spirit. So here in John 12:9, it gives us another concept, another understanding of why praying in the Spirit is so important. How be when he speaketh in the Spirit, he said, now open the text, 1 Corinthians 14:2. Didn't he say it? He speaketh in the Spirit and he speaketh mystery, right? Didn't he say that? All right, now well, we got to see it. Furthermore, Hebrews 12:9, now what? Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we give them reverence. Shall we not more rather be in subjection? Yeah, it is. Here's the revelation. Unto what? The unto what? The unto who? The and live. So what I'm saying to you, when you're praying in the Spirit, you're getting a real audience in the spirit world with the Father of Spirit. In other words, you're talking his language. Now, a lot of times you're praying and understanding, you're trying. You're trying to pray the word. You're trying to pray according to how you're being led. But when you're praying in the Spirit, you're accurate every time. Why you think you're talked out of praying much in the Spirit? I want to understand me. You better shut up. That's what got you in this mess. You understood. It's something you don't supposed to understand you except by faith. I just wrote some few notes down for you. Praying in the Spirit or praying in tongue releases energy for the supernatural. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're always shaking hands with possibilities. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're always shaking hands with possibilities. Now, I want you to get this. Praying in the Spirit imparts the ability to abide in the supernatural. Y'all got that? I want you to have it now because, see, you think you're hearing me, and if you don't get the whole gist of the thing, you're not going to catch it. It creates the ability or impartation take place when you're praying in the Spirit. A divine impartation take place. Now here's a term coming. Here's another term coming. Now you got to listen, you know, because we're going to a different dimension, all right? Turn to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. Let me read a little bit before I tell you something. Because you're going to have to understand this. You're going to blow your mind. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we know he's a spirit, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that, now notice verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened where? 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 In the inner man. See, praying in the Spirit is from the inner man and has to do with the inner man. Not the outer man. Not the outer mess we've made. It starts correcting the mess and directing you in another path in the spirit. See, that's why we can't stay with religion. That's why we can't stay with tradition. And that's why we got to upset you a little bit every now and then to make you break out. You don't know what it means when you break out of something. I've been breaking out of levels for the last 40 years. When you break out of one level and get in another level, you're so glad and say, wonder how long, why I stayed there so long. You know, you lock up. And you see, some of you are locked up in certain areas in your life. These teaching will unlock the door. The door will open automatically. Now, notice verse 16, that he will grant you according to the riches of glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit, by the Holy Spirit, in the inner man. So when you're praying in the spirit, who give you utterance? The Holy Spirit. According to Acts 2, the Holy Spirit give you the utterance to pray in the spirit. Right? Now listen very closely. The inner man praying, the inner man prayer, is at an inner altar. Write it down. You might not understand it all right now. It's at an inner altar. There's a supernatural altar on the inside of you. Trying to get God's attention out there in the space. You don't have to. He's with you. He said, and lo, I'm with you always. Christ in me, the hope of glory. See. So there's an inner altar. When you start praying in the spirit, you're praying at an inner altar. Your inner man never questioned God or asked God or doubt God. Question or doubt God. Your inner man never do. Don't care how much, how big the storm is, and no matter what the situation is, your inner man never question or doubt God. So praying in the spirit, you'll lose your question and you'll lose your doubt. And you get in another realm where religious folk can't understand you because they're talking about the problem. And you done stepped in the solution. See, because you come to a point where you hear the voice of God says, be still and know I'm God. You hear that, all right? On the other hand, the battle is not yours. It's mine. Turn it over to me. And while you're praying in tongue, you're turning things over that you would keep naturally. And when you turn it over in the spirit, then the Father have a chance. The Father of spirit, which is the Father of your spirit, has a chance now to function in the supernatural on your behalf and cause whatever miracle, whatever sign, whatever wonder that need to happen to make it happen for you. What I'm about to say now, you know who is the biggest interrupter of your miracle? It's not the devil. You. Where? Being in the outer man. Quoting scriptures back to God, not in the spirit. See, praying in the spirit turn regular words into rhema. Everything become alive in the spirit world. Because now you're praying in tongue. Now you're praying a divine language. Now you're praying a supernatural language. Now you enter into an anointing that disrespect knows. An anointing that have no respect for Cain. You better hear what I'm saying. That's the life God always wants us to live. But you can't live that life ritually, religiously. You see what I'm saying? No, you have to move and press. Paul said, I press. Why you got to press? That's a resistance. Now, let me see. So I want you to get this because I'm going to repeat it. Now, everything will be unlocked. Everything will be unblocked. And everything will be unstopped. Amen. That's powerful talk there. But it came out of the spirit world when I was praying about this meeting. He said, tell them everything is about to be unlocked, everything unblocked, and everything unstopped. That's what he said. Can he do it? Absolutely. Absolutely. But see, you don't go there. You don't go there without the right fuel. See, in praying in tongues, this is the kind of language God can talk to you. Because you see, he annihilating impossibility. He annihilating that person who think they're too smart for him to handle for you. My goodness. It puts you in a realm of freedom. It begin to exempt you from natural living. And you walk around with a joy all the time. And you walk around in peace all the time. Doesn't mean everything going right around you. But if it stay around, it's going to have to turn right. Amen? Y'all receive it? So now, whatever you're dealing with. Now, here's what I like about my job. When the Lord tell me something. Now, whatever you're dealing with, get unlocked tonight. I mean, if you, whatever been blocking you from your next level will be moved tonight. Whatever stopper Satan tried to use to stop up your next blessing will be taken out tonight. See, because you're moving in a realm. Unlock, unblock, unstop. Now I'm getting calls from across the country. Things are happening.
Yes, it is.
All over the country. My internet partners. I mean, they and ministers are calling. Things are happening. Mighty thing. All right, be seated. Be seated. Be seated. Things are happening. Say it. Now, for spiritual persuasion, when I said that the Spirit of God said, tell them when they learn that praying in the Spirit put them in a realm of the supernatural, and that everything would be unlocked, unblocked, and unstopped. You know what voice he gave me? Ephesians 3:20. Turn it. That's what he gave me. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly. Abundantly, above all that you ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. So, what is the Spirit of God saying? Praying in the Spirit is the trigger to the supernatural. And if praying in the Spirit is the trigger to the supernatural that unlock and unblock and unstop, it releases Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20, the pathway to the supernaturalness of God is a way called love. It's divine. And when it starts functioning in you that way, then everything starts happening. Because you cannot judge everything you see because they got too much going on. You got too much mess going on. The Lord told you you're going to be clouded. So you just, some of these things, you just turn your head and shift your car in another gear and keep going. You're not going to be able to bind everything up. See what I'm saying? Only what you're assigned to. Are you listening? Praying in the Spirit will bring you into alignment with all of the blessing belong to you. See, because sometimes we're out of line. Not by purpose, not by immoral living. It's just that we have a deceiver who always trying to derail us. But when we pray in the spirit, we're sharp and we know things ahead of time. Know what to do. Huh? Now, I got two sets of notes, so I'm trying to get back to the other one, but I can't. Turn to Isaiah 61 a minute. And you can use every one of these things one by one. Isaiah 61. You watching by internet, are you listening? And I don't know y'all watching that y'all let me know you're watching. So you got to write an email or what all y'all do. As you pray, now I'll give you a new term now, from the inner altar, for your shame, you will have double. 61 and 7. You ever been made ashamed? I've been made ashamed. I've been in line with a card, and the lady told me, no, no, sir. Get out the line. I've been there. I've been eating lunch and didn't have enough money to pay for it. I said, if somebody don't pay for this, we're going to wash dishes tonight. Look at this 7th verse. For your shame, you shall have double. And for confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. Praying in the Spirit produces all of this. You just can't get to this by reading the word. You got to have spiritual boosting of spiritual energy. All right? Are you listening? Watch this statement now. Praying in the Spirit brings you to a reality of God that can't be threatened by nothing else. In other words, reality can't be threatened. Y'all didn't even hear that. As we enter into the reality of this type of praying, nothing can threaten the reality of your position in Christ. Know our position through Christ. When one learned to pray in the Spirit, they paralyzed fear. Fear loses its place. And dominion start rising in that situation. Oh, hallelujah. Love and forgiveness is two of the master keys of praying in the Spirit. It enables you to lose self and selfishness. See, praying in the Spirit, you ain't got no time to be selfish. Because you're not in control. You have to yield your tongue to the Holy Ghost. Your mind is shut down. My goodness. You listening? Because I'm going a route here now. I'm going a new route here tonight. I want you to get these things. All these things I'm saying, you're not going to be able to keep up with them tonight. Praying in the Spirit increases preparation and stop all separation. It prepare you to hear God's voice clear. It prepare you to fight the good fight of faith without giving up. And it separates you from doubt, fears, and the lies of the enemy, what he going to do to you. You answer back, you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't. Because you're cutting him every time you pray in the Spirit. You're cutting him every time you pray in the Spirit. He knows that two-edged sword is loose when you're praying in the Spirit. Because you're praying the Word. So you know when you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying the Word. You're praying scripture you don't even know when you're praying when you're praying in the Spirit. I mean, nothing operating in the spirit world without the Word. Let me say it another way. Praying in the Spirit releases an inner anointing that outside circumstances can't stop. An inner anointing that outside circumstances, situation, attack cannot stop. It is the anointing that destroyed the yoke. It is the anointing that renewed the burden. That's Isaiah 10:27 all day long. 1 John 1:27, you have an anointing abiding in you. Need not no man teach you. The anointing that abides you should teach you all things. Other words, are you listening to me? Other words, the enemy will be waiting for you at the bus stop and you caught a jet. That's what it's like. I'm trying to give some kind of mundane explanation there. Now, there's a big difference being on a jet and a bus stop, because I rode the bus back in 1965. I rode the bus every day. I tried to stay with my grandmother, but she wanted me to come in too early. She was living in New Orleans. And I asked her for a key. She wouldn't give me a key. And I got a 10:30 curfew, and I'm crazy. I don't want no 10:30 curfew. I won't come in at 2:30. And so I told my mom, I said, this ain't going to work. So we got it lined up with Greyhound when Greyhound was passing. In Gonzales, I caught the Greyhound every day and went to New Orleans, went to school, barber school, and came back that evening. And so I could stay out all night long if I wanted to. I ain't got time for it. I love grandmother, but I can't go by these rules here. And they didn't cook enough down there for me. They don't cook. You have to listen. Praying in the Spirit, take care of inner business without interruption. In other words, you're dealing with something that you got to bring to pass. Something got to come to pass. You cannot be interrupted because you down in a level where Satan can't go. When you're praying in the Spirit, I'm going to give you three or four things. Now get ready. When you're praying in the Spirit, it brings revelation to your spirit. What I said? You're renewing your mind. You are rendering your body to God. And rhema start flowing like rivers. You know what? How many of y'all know what a rhema is? Rhema's a live word, a word that God have opened up to you, not by interpretation, but by revelation. It's no longer just a doctrine. It's no longer just a teaching. It become an abiding word. It become life and spirit to me. See, when he said in John 6:3, the words that I've spoken to you, they are spirit. And their life. Not the word I spoke to your neighbor. to you. All right, you got it? All right. Now listen, listen, listen. Your mind will miscreate without your spirit supervision. That's how we get in trouble. See, your mind miscreating, your mind doing things as if it's operating in the spirit, but it's in the environment and the atmosphere of Satan. So deception is happening, but it's deceiving. Unless you're far enough in the spirit to catch it. Because you think you're functioning and operating in the word, but you're being deceived with the word. Because your spirit is not up to par, Satan gonna trick you. That ain't gonna happen. Say it. That ain't gonna happen. I'm not gonna let it happen. That's why I'm here. I'm listening.
I'm listening.
I'm receiving.
I'm changing.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love these classes. A lot of members stay home, but they miss no. Man, they miss some stuff, man. My goodness, what they doing? Well, not good that program is. Now, your prayer cannot be interrupted by any of Satan's false thoughts that they're not going to be answered, because you already know. Yeah, that's what he said. Uh-huh. Now, turn to Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 18. Did y'all get some of the things I said?
Yes, sir.
Huh? I want you to grow and mature and be able to hold your own ground at somebody else's stop sign. I'm trying to say, you follow what I'm saying? Yeah, hold your ground. If you catch a hold of these things, as a pastor, I don't have to be overly concerned about how you're going to make it. I know how you're going to make it. Praying in the spirit, or talking in tongue, or praying in the spirit is pouring in the oil and wine of the Holy Ghost. Fresh oil, new wine. Fresh oil means fresh anointed. New wine means fresh dimension. As natural wine take a human being into another dimension. I know some guys just calm and collected. They get to drinking. When they got to drinking, and they couldn't fight, but they thought they could whoop everybody, be bumping up against people, and they're with us. So if they get in the fight, all of us in the fight. But if you just keep them from that liquor, they recognize they can't whoop a gnat. But they get a drink. Say, you looking at me? Man got to look in some direction. So praying in the spirit is pouring in fresh oil and new wine of the Holy Ghost. You know, you got the wind, the oil, the wine, all those things represent the Holy Ghost. Fresh oil. Say fresh oil.
Fresh oil.
New wine.
New wine.
All right. Now, let me show you what. Let me show you. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the spirit. Now, the real translation is, be being filled with the Spirit, because that's not a one filling. All right, you take your car. Just drive it all next week. Just drive. Drive to church next Sunday. You drive 80 miles. Drive next Sunday. Drive the next Sunday. Just don't stop getting no gas. So the same way, it's like you're fueling. You're spiritually taking on fuel of miracles, of signs, of wonders, of the supernatural. when you're praying in the spirit. New wine. You're making the bottle capable of holding it. There are some things that God, you know, I like Baptist people. I'm a Baptist myself. But if you don't get filled with the Spirit, there's something. Remember Jesus said in John 16, verse 12? Look at John 16, verse 12. There's some things I want to say to you, but you can't bear them now. See, praying in the Spirit, when I got baptized with the Holy Spirit and started getting filled with the Spirit every day, it changed my capacity to receive, to understand, and to act out what God tell me to do. See, but if you baptize the Spirit, if you don't pray in the Spirit, there's something God want to show you, but it'll drive you absolutely out of your mind if he show it to you, if you're not ready for it. Guess what? He ain't going to show it to you. See, a father not going to hurt their child by letting them know too much ahead of time that they can't handle. So it's not that God don't want to do it for you. He know you can't handle it. So what that mean? You stay on the same level. Now who won't stay on the same level? See? You done got everything unblocked, everything unlocked, everything unstopped. It's time for it to happen for you. Just like he said. Only believe. If thou can believe, things that are impossible with men. I was listening to the book of Genesis, and when Sarah laughed, because her and Abraham had passed age, the angel was ministering to Abraham, and he told her a certain season Sarah gonna have a child. Sarah didn't laugh on the outside. She laughed on the inside. But the man who was talking, that's what he's looking at. Sarah said she didn't laugh. He said, yeah, you did laugh. Then the question was asked that I want you to hear tonight. You know it already. If anything too hard for God. Now, you're not going to be able to answer that question in the natural. Religion can answer that question. Tradition can answer that question. But a born-again, spirit-filled man or woman praying in the Spirit can answer that question just like that. No! Why? They have experience. You haven't had no fun unless you get in the jail. You really don't know what you're packing, you know, until you've been in a spot you can't get out. I'm so glad God didn't give me flower beds of ease. I had to learn how to walk. I'm still learning. Because the higher you get, the more you need to know. Are you following me? Huh? The Spirit of God wants you to know tonight he's ready to break you from that normal place you've been. You going to let him? He has to break you from normal thinking. You're going to have to start thinking big. You have to come to the point that God has no bottom. He go deeper and deeper and deeper. Oh, my goodness. There's no bottom in what God can bring up. You go to thinking like that, you're going to go to seeing things that the average person don't see. That's why you're going to have to, sadly to say, but it's biblical, is Jesus departing from family members outside of your household, because in your household, you ought to be breaking things up to make everybody line up. Right. See, because my family, if I tell them it was two moons out last night, they say, all right, let's go. What one you want? You know, they ain't got them on one moon. But they know God can set another moon out there if I tell them. That's the kind of relationship we got. So therefore, I can make a decision that my wife and my family, when I finally make a decision, they don't squall no more because they're trusting that God talking to me. Now, I have to also accept the responsibility of the decision. Are you following me? All right, so now, so he said, and be not drunk with wine, and well, I see this. You know this, when you hear this, it's going to help you. I just got the insight here. He said, be not drunk with wine. But you know, a lot of time we get drunk with the world. A lot of time we get drunk with problems. Yeah. We get to, I don't know what to do. Hey, you're drunk. You're a Christian. You ought to know what to do. You're just drinking from the wrong bottle. Whenever you throw your hand up and get discouraged and quit, you're drunk on something else. You drunk on Satan's spirit, telling you you can't. What Philippians 4:13 said? How many things? How? Through the inner man. I had a lady just tell me she's getting so blessed. She said, I'm nervous. I'm getting so blessed. Yeah, she told me, she said, I'm nervous, but I'm gonna push it. She said, I understand. God got blessings that make you nervous. God that made me nervous so many times. I said, Lord, what? He said, yeah, go for it. I said, what? Never ask God where the money is. Well, y'all better catch this. Never consult God about where the money at. It's an insult to God. If he told you he about to do something for you, he said, Lord, where the money? Don't ask the Lord that. Act like you have it. Yeah. Hey, glory to God. So Paul commands the Ephesian to be filled with the Spirit. Now, here's a question, but we need to notice as Christian. Why would he command them to be filled with the Spirit if they were already filled? Well, he was telling them, be being filled with the Spirit. You have to get filled with the Spirit every day. And sometimes more than one time a day, if things rough enough, you got to fuel up. You know anything about a headwind and a tailwind? Huh? I know a little bit about aviation. I've had four jets, and I finally learned a few things. My pilot said we got a headwind. That means we're not going as fast as we could go because that wind is coming up against us. That means we're burning more fuel. So when we was going to be going 600-something miles, we'll go 5-something. But when he said to me, boss, he called me boss. He said, boss, we got a tailwind. We're going home. See, the wind now pushing the jet. And we go over 600-something miles an hour. See? So sometimes you got a headwind. Look like you're not going nowhere, but keep flying. But you're going to need more fuel. Because you got to last a little longer. You understand that? Huh? All right. All right. Now, in RVing, somebody asked him, how you drive a 45-foot RV. I said, you get on the highway and point it where you're going and mash on the accelerator. My neighbor told me, he said, they're going to get out your way. Everybody going to get out your way. When they see that big old thing, don't worry about them. They're going to get out your way. And I'm on my side. I know I'm on my side. I'm looking in the big mirror. I'm way on the side. You meet cars, they're almost going to the ditch. But that same principle, there's a headwind. That if you don't know how to drive that thing, it drive different. When that wind blowing, and so we're talking on a two-way radio, you know. So I'm saying, I said to Philip behind me, I say, how you doing back there, Philip? I'm saying, this wind is rough, isn't it? He said, if it's rough on you, say, I got 45 feet. What do you got, 30 what? 36. He said, if it's rough on you, Dad, what you think about back here? I'm all, one time, Philip went out the mirror. I couldn't see him. I said, whoa, man, I thought he was in the ditch. Remember, the headwind does not mean you can't get where you're going. The headwind is to make you stronger. So if you're dealing with a headwind, make sure you know this. Your engine can take it. Keep your foot on the pedal. Hold the wheel. It's going to be over. You're going to get where you're going. Because God can't be stopped. Give God praise. How many of y'all ever run into some of them headwinds? How many of y'all ever run into some of them headwinds in life? Look like you wasn't going nowhere. Look like you wasn't getting nowhere. Praying, you're reading the Bible. Look like nothing happened. Keep driving. When the headwind blowing, we don't make them trips. Sometimes we went, how many miles we went? How many hours? 9 hours? 13 hours. Sometimes when you're going on them trips, you can't make it your destiny. You got it set and planned out. But if the headwind there, you might be a little 2 hours later. But you got there. But you got to have more fuel. You can't pull on the side. Why this wind blowing? Why? Because somebody else need a wind. Somebody asked God for a wind. They need something blowing on their crop or something. And you talk about, why this wind blowing? Let God answer those people's prayer. Drive on. Shut out, I got a few more minutes. Are you help?
Yes,
sir. Yeah, because some of y'all think you're stuck and you're the only one. Everybody in their headwind sometimes. You say, I don't know why, God. The person sitting next to you might be in the same wind. You're in a world where everything is not going to go right. All the time. But you have to be able to say, it is well with my soul. Oh my. I done shifted in another gear here, man. Oh my. It is well with my soul. I'm going to make it. I'm not going to try to make it. It's a done deal. Look at somebody, tell me it's a done deal. I want you to tell somebody, don't look for me in the same spot next month. It is well. It is well with my soul. Take on the energy. 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 Jesus said to the disciples, let's go to the other side. He didn't say, let's drown in a storm. You got to remember what the Lord told you. What difference the storm made? He said, let's go to the other side. All you had to remind yourself what Jesus said. He said, we're going to the other side. You know what? You know what? You're going to the other side. No matter what you do. What? What? No matter what you're dealing with tonight, the Spirit of the Lord should tell you, just like Jesus took them on the other side, storm and wind and water, he's going to do the same thing for you. Why? The Bible said Jesus Christ, what? The same wind. Yesterday? Same Jesus. So what if you got a storm going? What if something broke out in your family? What if something going wrong? So what? He said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the thing that God has prepared for you. Yield to it. Say yes, Lord.
Yes.
Say amen.
Amen.
So be it.
So be it.
Tonight,
tonight
is my night.
Is my night.
Guess what the Spirit of God said? My presence is your privilege. You heard that? I just heard that. My presence is your, every time my presence show up, your privilege is going to open. And you listening? And right now I'm here. So that means some privileges is opening for you right here, right now. And what's good about it? No committee. No politics. No voting. Nobody can stop it. They should have stopped you before you got here. Hey! Give God praise. Hey! Should have stopped before I got here. Being filled with the Holy Ghost, listen, is not a one-time event. Say that, I got six more minutes. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is not a one-time event. Fresh filling. What? Fresh filling. Nobody want to live on yesterday's power. Now, I ain't much on leftover food. I'll eat some of it. But there ain't going to be left. No, I might take one left, but the next one got to be right. Right off the stove. Right off, right off the stove, you see. I might eat left one time. Praying in tongue will stir the wine of the Spirit to keep you joyful. When nobody knows you got a problem. Say, he always the same. She always the same. She don't let you ever have a problem. No, she overpowering the problem. Joy in the Holy Ghost is the new wine of the Holy Ghost. Praying in tongue will stir the wine of the Spirit to keep you joyful. You cannot be depressed with the when the joy of the Holy Ghost is in your life. I don't care what's going on. The reason so many believers in Christianity is dry is due to the fact that they are not drunk on the new wine of the Spirit. They said there, you know. Choir wide open. Three ladies singing from heaven. Not one, three. They said, huh? How many of y'all go to the movies? Boy, you was in a Baptist church, they'll put you out. No. Some movie's longer than another one, right? If it's a good movie, you ever get up and just leave? Huh? You know what happened? If you do, they don't care. Just going to let you out. Open the door. The exit over there. Bye. But they ain't got to worry about you leaving. When you leave, you're going to get another bag of popcorn, but you ain't leaving. Well, let's give God. You know, let's enjoy God. Now, I'm going to say one more thing to you, and then we'll take up on next Wednesday. The new wine of the Holy Ghost will make your Christian life an adventure. So even when you're attacked, you change that word attack. You change the word attack to what? What you change the word attack to? Yeah, Janet, thank you. Say it out loud, Janet. Adventure. I just told you. Y'all can't pass an open book test. Lord, have mercy. You see, what happened, the new wine of the Holy Ghost will make your Christian life an adventure. So I said, when you have an attack, what you can change it to? Adventure. See, life is not an event. Life is a journey. So just because one thing happened don't mean it all. I lost my job. Did you lose Jesus? Sometimes you lose your job for a better job. Because you wasn't going to quit nowhere, so the Lord just boost you out of there. All of us have had some kind of experience of God moving us in some way that we wasn't going to move. You get stubborn, you know. You get on the track and the train coming. And the Lord got to get you off there some kind of way, you know. So you just make the track hot. You get up off. Stand on your feet and raise your hand. Let's pray at God for a few minutes. Father, thank you for what we heard. Come on. Your life ought to be better tonight. Oh, you didn't hear what I'm saying, man. I feel the Holy Ghost. This is a wonderful Wednesday night for freedom and breakthroughs. And, oh, my, deliverance. Answers coming, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, this is a setup. Pray in the spirit a minute or two. Think about all the things you heard about doing this. Think about your refueling now. Whoa, you're fueling. You're fueling for the headwind. The headwind is surely to come. But remember, the headwind is a part of life. It makes you stronger. It makes you be able to stand up longer. Good God Almighty. Oh, my goodness. Rejoice. Count it all joy when you fall in various trials and temptation, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Boy, that scripture that used to puzzle me. I read that scripture, the young Baptist boy, count it all joy. I said, what? Count it all joy when you fall in various trials, tests, and temptations, knowing this. So you got to know something, though. You're not going to count it joy if you don't know something. That's why I try to teach you something. Many people have told me, they got in a dare situation, they heard my voice saying, you can handle this. They rose up, dusted themselves off, and went on through. That's the way it's supposed to be. See, we don't come here just to be coming here to fulfill our duty. Nobody got no duty. We ain't come here for no duty. We come here to meet God and find, get some insight. Go ahead, play a little music. You got to know how to play music back when I get to closing. Not that music where the Baptists do to serenade. I'm talking about music just to prophetic, put prophetic music in the air. The people of God know they're in the presence of God. You know, God don't know Wednesday from Sunday. God will work just as good on Wednesday as they work on Sunday. You better, but the church don't know that. The church got their set pattern. I go on Sunday, but I don't go on Wednesday. I alternate. Hallelujah. All right, everybody filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Lift your hand if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't lift your hand if you're not. All right, put your hand down. Anybody here not filled with the Holy Spirit, lift your hand. You can't do what I have. Teach tonight. You can't pray in the Spirit. You're not filled with the Spirit. You're not baptized with the Holy Ghost. Lift your hand. I want to see your hand. I want to talk to you. Everybody feel? We good?